318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
To take a stand. Take a stand. Not knowing I'd lose my best friend. But I'd rather live right than in hell lift up my eyes. All God's children just stand. Yeah. Tell somebody, say,
you stand.
Yeah, Lord, stand for holiness.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord and all of his hosts. And thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to another session of Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on your Real Love Station, KAYT 88.1 FM. I'm your host, Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my beautiful wife of 27 years, none other than in the person of...
I'm Minister Mildred Townsend.
And together we bring to you the Moments of Inspiration broadcast ministry, which can be conveniently heard here every Saturday at 12:30 p.m. on your dial. 88.1 FM Alexandria, 92.5 FM Shreveport, 98.9 FM Monroe, and by way of the World Wide Web at KAYTFM.com. We're so delighted to be with you on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Truly, we can say we can rejoice and be glad in it. And without any further preliminaries, we're going to ask my beautiful wife, Minister Mildred, to share a scripture with us and to lead us before the throne of grace in Jesus' name.
John 15, 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you because you're God. We thank you because there's none like you. We thank you because you've been so good to us, Lord God. You blessed us to see another year together, Lord, with my husband on Thursday. Another happy anniversary together. So we're just grateful. Grateful for what you're doing. Grateful for what you're going to do. Yeah. And so many out there, God, in the radio land, we're praying, God, for them. We're praying, Lord, that you will bring marriages together today.
Yes,
Lord, we're
Lord.
Praying that you'll bring children back home.
Oh,
just
yes,
things
Lord.
That they're going through, Lord, so much, Lord, in this end time.
Hallelujah.
So we're praying for
Lord.
Everybody today, Lord God.
Yes, Lord,
we're praying
Jesus.
For the sick. We're praying, Lord
Hallelujah.
God, for
yes.
the old folks.
Yes,
Lord, the ones in the nursing homes.
Oh, yes.
Lord, the one in the hospitals. Lord, everywhere. Under the sound of my voice.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we're praying for the ones in the prison
yes,
today.
Lord
we're
Jesus.
Praying, God, that you will touch and just have your way in
right
their
now,
life, Lord God.
Right now,
Lord, these people need you,
Hallelujah.
Lord. They need
yes.
you, Lord, in this hour. We're thanking you, Lord, and we're praising you, Lord God, for what you're going to do. And we thank you, Lord God, for just being God.
Oh,
Amen.
Yes.
We just don't have no sad story.
Hallelujah.
Just want to give you praise and glory today,
Hallelujah.
Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Just
yes,
want to thank
Lord.
You for all that you've done and continue
Hallelujah.
To do in our life, Lord
glory
God.
Glory to you.
We
name.
Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Truly, we thank God for this opportunity to come to you once again to, as far as our voices can be heard, in your hospital rooms, your places of confinement. Maybe you're behind prison bars right now, but we want to let you know that the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ is still accessible to you.
Yes.
And as we're gearing up all over the world, amen, for a event, amen, that has been resonating for the last past several thousands of years,
Ooh.
We want you to know that this event is just as real today
yes.
as it was 2,000 plus years ago. And brothers and sisters, that is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And not only was he resurrected, amen, to prove his power over death, he was resurrected so that you and I, amen, might be partakers of his righteousness.
Yes, Lord God.
Praise be to God. That's right. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. Out of all of the contemporaries, those that offered what they call great advice, Confucius is still dead in the grave.
My Lord.
Muhammad is still dead in the grave. Amen. And Taoism and whatever leaders that were available with great words of wisdom, they are no match for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And because he lives, my friend, you too can live. That's right. Because he lives, you can face tomorrow.
Oh, glory.
That's right. No, he's not just a figment of someone's imagination. But the reality of who Jesus Christ is, he is just as real as I am speaking to you, and you're hearing my voice transmitted over the airwaves. Jesus Christ, that's right. Not only is he seated in heaven, but he is seated in our hearts by way of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has come to lead us into all truth and righteousness. And so on that note, you know, Minister Mildred, we're just excited. We're glad about the things. Yes, I can truly tell you today that he is not about the Easter eggs. He's not about the Easter bunny. No. He's not about the Easter egg hunts. And shame on those people that even participate in such things. Because what we are trying to do is we're trying to incorporate a paganistic holiday and associate it with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No more than we can take the birth of our Lord and try to put Santa Claus with it.
We're doing it, Jesus.
But it will not stand. Praise be to God. Now, this ain't to bust nobody's bubble. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, yes, to every parent, to every pastor, to every teacher, amen. Praise be to God. I want to admonish you, not to your shame, but to your credit in Jesus Christ. Get rid of the Easter egg hunts.
Yes, Lord.
Praise be to God. Get rid of the eggs. Get rid of the bunnies. Get rid of the baskets and these things. Amen. And it is time for us to be men and women of valor, women of virtue, men of valor to stand up to let God's people know the truth because time is running out. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. The apostle had to let people know, amen, that you cannot even take food that's offered up to idols. Amen. Because these things, amen, bring sacrilege to the true movement as to who Jesus Christ is.
Hallelujah.
But brothers and sisters, more importantly, we want to share with you, amen, the reason why Christ, he died and he rose. Amen. And so that's what our message is about today. Minister Mildred, if we can go right into the word, anything else you want to share before we get into the word?
Bishop, the lifelong, even us growing up and having the Easter eggs and the clothing and the hats and the bunnies, you know, that's a tradition. But, you know, I thank and praise God that the Bible, you know, let us know that when we see the light, we walk therein. In other words, you know, we can be traditionally had a way, you know, we used to this way or that way. But does it line up with the word of God? And then to put all of this stuff with Christ, you know, it's just we ought to be tired of that as Christians. We go along with too many things. We go along with even the Christmas holidays. You know, the Santa Claus, and now Mr. Wabbit want to take his thing, Wabbit, not Rabbit, Mr. Wabbit. You know, some people can't even say the rabbit, but they say Mr. Rabbit and the bunnies and all of that, you know, the eggs and all of that. You know, every time it's something about the Lord, commercialism and all this paganism and all this stuff come, try to take away from our Savior.
Amen. But you know what, too, Minister Mildred, I'm so glad that even in our ignorance, the Lord was merciful to us.
Yes, Lord.
And because of the shortness of the time and because we are living in what's called the last days and we're coming to the climatical point of the coming of the Lord, as we look and see all of the signs that are unfolding around us each and every day, it brings us to the understanding that we must be an alarm sounding to our brothers and sisters that are less understanding.
Yes, Father.
Yes, 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 yes. Even Jesus went to Nicodemus. And when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again,
yes, Lord.
Nicodemus looked at him like as though he was speaking a foreign language.
Yes.
And then Jesus asked him, how is it you being a leader yourself cannot understand this?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because, Lord Jesus, I went through the ranks like everybody else. I went to seminary just like everybody else. I went to the theological institutions like everybody else. I sat at the feet of instructors like everybody else. But when it's all said and done, Lord Jesus, I just got religion. I didn't get a relationship.
Amen.
With God. And so that's what Jesus came. Jesus came to break religion.
Yes, Lord.
And he came to institute relationship.
Yes,
Amen. With him.
And when you break religion,
praise God,
it is going to cause an uproar in the world of Satan, because Satan is the orchestrator of religion. Satan is the orchestrator of man-made institutes.
Yes.
And heaping men into ourselves and erecting structures that will say who has the most members or who has the most churches up under them dies, wins, and gets the prize. Jesus came to annihilate
all of that. Yes, Lord.
And when he asked Nicodemus, how is it you don't understand this? Nicodemus didn't understand because he came up in religion. And so, brothers and sisters, this whole thing about the resurrection is far greater than religion.
Hallelujah.
It is far greater than any institution that man could ever institutionalized. It is far greater than any denominational structurization that you have been a part of or ever will be a part of. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has nothing to do with religion at all. It has something to do with the purpose for which our Lord came into this world. And let me tell you, so glorious was the event of his resurrection until it was not something that just happened, but it was witnessed.
Lord Jesus.
For in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established. But if we can go into the word, we're going to go to several scriptures, Minister Mildred, because we got just a few minutes to clarify on this. If you go with me to the book of, first, the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. And if you just start reading at verse number 1 and read down, and I'll stop you when I get to the scripture in which that I'm trying to drive the point home. Luke 24, starting at verse number 1. Speaking about the glorious resurrection.
Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee?
Hold what you got there, Minister Mildred. That's where my thought is at in verse number 5, where Jesus asked the question, and I asked that question to my brothers and sisters that are out there in Radio Land today that are listening up under the sound of our voices. The angel asked them the question, why seek ye the living
amongst the dead?
Amongst the dead.
My God.
Yes, the resurrection is asking you that question today, my brothers and sisters. Because if you're looking for the resurrection in religion, it ain't there.
It's not there, Bishop.
If you're looking for the resurrection in denomination, it ain't there.
My God.
And it was customary for the women to go to the sepulchre because it was had drawn up into the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And religiously, they understood you didn't do anything until after the Sabbath was over.
Yes.
But let me tell you something. If you're waiting for the Sabbath to end, you might just miss something. That's what happened. They missed the resurrection.
Well,
and so the angels had to remind them by telling them, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Many of you are in dead places in your life. You're up in church, but you're still in a dead spot in your life. That's right. You're in a dead part in your marriage. You're in a dead part of your parenting with your children. Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Jesus came that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you today that the resurrection took place, and it was very much real. Yes, the Gnostics of today try to say that there is no such thing as the resurrection. There are even certain preachers that are preaching that the resurrection didn't happen, and it won't happen.
Mm.
And that once you die in this world, that's just it. That ain't nobody else ever rose from the grave. But here, I'm going to tell you, whose report will you believe on today?
All right,
for the word of God is accurate. It is sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm here to tell you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not just a figment of anybody's imagination, but it was very much a reality. As a matter of fact, Matthew recorded it.
Yes, Lord.
And so significant was not only the death, burial, and resurrection until Jesus brought some witnesses back with him to signify that his resurrection was real. It was not just a figment of anybody's imagination. As a matter of fact, Enoch even said it, that when he gets ready to come back, Enoch prophesied it, and Jude picked it up and said, he come back with tens of thousands of his saints.
Yes, yes.
To stand witness that not only was his resurrection real, but his returning back is also going to be real. But Bishop Townsend, can you prove to us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was solidified more than just in our hearts? Was it something that was accurately recorded not only by Matthew, but is there anybody else that can bear witness to it? Minister Mildred, if you'll go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, starting verses 46. Matthew 27.
Verses 46. And it says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani.
You're speaking in tongues, but that's okay. That's all right, because you're speaking in an Aramaic tongue, all and they right. may not get that Aramaic tongue, but yes. yet you're still speaking in a unknown tongue to yourself. And what else?
That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Uh-huh. And then what happened?
Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias.
Uh-huh.
And straightway, one of them ran, took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar.
Uh-huh.
And put it on a reed,
mm.
and gave him to drink.
Uh-huh. And then what happened?
The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him.
Now, this is just bringing you up to speed to let you know when Jesus got ready to die. But let me tell you something. So glorious was his death.
Yes.
So glorious was not even his death and his resurrection was glorious, because many people misunderstand it and has been misquoted that people got up out of the grave when Jesus died. No, they didn't get up out of the grave when he died. They got up out of the grave at his resurrection to show how real his resurrection was. Read, Minister Mildred.
Number 50 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
Now, that just goes to show you that at his death, the middle wall of partition between the holies of holies had been torn in half. What did that signify? That signified we didn't need a major priest no more.
Hallelujah.
To go to Jesus.
Yes.
You were able now, because of his death and his burial and resurrection, to be able to come to him with a pure heart on your own. Now, here comes the grand finale. Here comes the very episode in which Jesus makes it known to the whole world and even those in Jerusalem that my resurrection was not just a figment of nobody's imagination, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything has been and shall be established. What happened at his resurrection in verse number 52, Minister Mildred?
52 says, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
And what did they do in verse 53?
53 say, and came out of the grave.
Before his resurrection.
After.
Before his resurrection.
After.
Before his resurrection.
After.
When Jesus got up, some of the saints got up that had been sleeping to show and to signify that was a sneak preview as to what was going to take place for the saints of God. That's you and I, brothers and sisters. That's a sneak preview. For even the Apostle Paul in the book of Thessalonians said, we shall not all sleep.
Hallelujah.
Huh? But we all shall be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. And that's simply saying we won't prevent them that are asleep.
Right.
That's what the resurrection is all about. Reminding you that your walk with Christ is not in vain. Reminding you that all of the things that you've gone through in life are not in vain. All of the heartache, sorrows, and pain. And listen, should the devil get the advantage over this body and try to bring you to succumb to death to some type of disease or sickness, let me tell you something. That's not going to prevent you, Minister Mildred.
Yes, Lord.
For he said, we which are alive. Mm. And he said, first of all, he said in Thessalonians, he said that the dead in Christ
shall
do what?
First. They're going to rise first.
They're going to get the advantage.
Hey, glory.
They're going to rise first. And then he said, we which are alive and remain from what? Well, there's going to be some calamities taking place in this earth.
Oh, glory.
That's right. There's going to be some tribulation taking place in this earth. Mm. And for all of you that thought, amen, that the tribulation came before the catching away, you're absolutely right. Mm. And those of you that are thinking that the tribulation is coming after, you're absolutely wrong. There's going to be tribulation on the earth first. And those of us that are alive and remain from the things that God is unleashing upon this earth, because we've already been sealed.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. He know how to seal us.
Hallelujah.
To the day of redemption.
It's truly
the same way when he brought wrath upon the children of Egypt, he preserved those that were his.
Hid in him. Amen.
And those of us that are hid in Christ, even when the calamities fall upon this earth, that's the reason why you've got to be hid in Christ. You can't be hid in religion.
In Christ.
You can't be hid in a denomination.
Thank you, Lord.
You've got to be hid in Christ. And the Bible said that even when Christ got up, some of the dead said, and you know what they did? They got up and boldly proclaimed themselves around Jerusalem.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection.
My God, my God.
They didn't die no more. They stayed alive with Christ. They didn't die again. When they got up with him, they are still alive. And guess what? They will be some of the 10,000s that's coming back. Tens of thousands coming back with him.
Hallelujah.
I know you didn't know it. To that preacher that's been preaching that there ain't no resurrection, brother, I'm not going to call you a lie. Sister, I'm not going to call you a lie. I'm going to say you were misinformed. But see, that's why it takes the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
To break open and unlock the mysteries concerning the things of God. I don't care how many theological colleges you go to. I don't care how many schools you go to. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth. You see, the seminary will give you his commentary. But they took note that Peter and the rest of the apostles, which were unlearned men, had been with Jesus.
Had been in the presence of Jesus.
Until you get in his presence.
Yes, Lord.
You can get the piece of paper, but the piece of paper ain't going to do you no good.
No good at all.
And you know what was all said and done? He made Nicodemus feel foolish after he confronted him. But you know what? Nicodemus had enough sense at least to come to say, well, you know what? I don't know what I thought I should have known.
Well, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
And until we get to that place in our walk with God and confess that we really don't know what we think we should know, we will go. That's why he said he called them fools.
But until
we confess that, you know what, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to know.
My God, my God.
Even the Ethiopian eunuch that when Philip began preaching to him, he asked him, he said, do you understand what you read?
Mm.
He said, how can I except some man really show me?
That's it.
See, the school can only show you so much.
So much.
But it takes the Holy Ghost.
Amen. The anointing.
To bring the revelation knowledge.
Hallelujah.
Concerning the things that God wants you to know. This resurrection is coming up. God wants you to know, brothers and sisters, that you no longer have to seek the living amongst the dead. You're going from man to man, woman to woman. Why? Because you're seeking the living amongst the dead. You're going from church to church, organization to organization. Why? Because you're seeking the living amongst the dead. You're going from marriage to marriage. Why? Because you're seeking the living amongst the dead. But when he confronted the women, he said, see the place where he lay. He's no longer here. You're looking for life in dead places. You ain't going to find it.
You won't find it.
You're looking for life in that wine bottle. You're not going to find it.
My God, my God.
You're looking for life in that man, thinking that another cheap thrill is going to get you where you need to be. That woman, another cheap thrill is going to get you there. But you're looking for love and you're looking for life in all the wrong places.
Yes, Lord.
You're seeking the living amongst the dead. That joint ain't going to get it.
That's right. Amen. Jesus is the only way.
Amen. Brother preacher, sister preacher, you can make excuses why you in sin till the cows come home. And I got news for you. No, if Jesus come and catch you in sin, you're going to die and go to hell.
That's the truth. That's the word.
For this cause cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I can't say I love God and I stay disobedient.
That's it, Bishop.
I've got to tell you the truth. I don't care how many preachers get up and try to make it sugar-coated for their own wrongdoing.
Hallelujah.
That prophet that God told in Bethel, don't go back the way you came. Don't salute nobody. Now, he was held accountable because you know what? He was a prophet. And watch this. Even the word of God said, if the children of Israel fell in the desert because of their disobedience, where you think you and I going to be?
My God.
When Christ resurrects us, he don't resurrect us to go backwards. When we're buried with him in baptism, we ain't baptized to go backwards. We're baptized to go forward. But if your heart ain't right,
My God.
You'll make an excuse for your backsliding. Christ rose so that we could rise above sin, so that we could rise above mistakes, so that we can rise above the things that are taking this world over. Yes, brothers and sisters, it is no time for us to incorporate things of the world back in the church. Amen. That's what the problem is. You see, Jesus cast the world out of the church. And how did he do it, Bishop Townsend? Well, when the money changers tried to bring the store entrepreneurship inside the church. That's what the problem is. Many people are trying to run the church like a business. Jesus showed, it ain't ran as a business. It's ran by the Holy Ghost. He kicked the money changers out of the church. And that's the reason why we ain't got power in the church, because we trying to run the church like a business. Jesus kicked the money changers out. It's time to kick the world back out of the church.
Amen, Bishop. Amen. And as you were saying, that is so true, because it's saying that everything that Jesus did at the cross, everything he did, you know, for dying for us, and every time we disobey him, every time we not walk upright before him, we nail him back to that cross over and over again. And, you know, we just don't want his death and dying, you know, and him coming back to be in vain. Amen. We don't want it to be in vain, but it will be in vain when we do not obey him, when we do not walk upright before him. Amen. We're saying that whatever, all that he done, amen, meant nothing. Because of our disobedience, because we want to do it our way, when God is saying, no, do it my way. You know, we just thank and praise God for what he did for us. And by thanking and praising God what he did for us, we're going to walk up right before him. And that's all he asking for us, to walk up right before him. And I, oh, glory to God, thank him so much. Amen. What all that he done, all that he endured. Amen. We just don't. Ain't seeing that really what our God had to go through. All the beating and all of that, you know, and all putting the vinegar in his, all of that in his sores and bleeding and beating and tormented, being tormented for us.
Yes.
And we go right back to living an ungodly life. We go right back forsaking everything else except him. Mm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Praise be to God. I've got some news for you.
Jesus.
You know, because they say God is married to the backslider, he is.
Yes.
But let me tell you something. As I said before, when you go to the book, and this is the truth, this is the difference between being born of religion and born of the Holy Ghost. When you go to the book of 3 John, and you read verses 7 through 10, that's the difference between being born of religion and born of the Holy Ghost. See, when you're born of religion, you're going to make an excuse to stay in sin.
All right now. All right.
When you're born of religion, you're going to make an excuse for your inadequacies. But when you're born of the Holy Ghost and are genuinely born, not of religion, not of denomination, but genuinely born of the Holy Ghost, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot sin.
That's the word, Bishop.
And that's what the resurrection is all about.
Hallelujah.
Let me share this with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? You know what you're saying? You're saying that if Christ didn't rise from the dead and he said, I've got power, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and you're preaching his word and you're preaching about this all power, but there's sin in your life.
Oh, it don't mix, Bishop.
You're preaching religion.
Religion.
And you're not preaching Christ.
Amen.
You're preaching denomination and you're not preaching Christ. And then he says in verse number 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Preacher, you can't preach that there ain't no resurrection, because there is a resurrection.
Oh, definitely.
And if he said, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, then you know what? Then what are we living for Christ for?
That's it.
If we're not going to rise.
Oh, we're going to
I heard
rise.
One preacher preaching, telling people that once you're dead, that's it. The devil is a lie.
Who?
The devil is a lie. Paul picked it up. Peter picked it up. All the disciples picked it up. And that's what they live for. And that's what you and I live for. Jesus is coming again, and he's coming back for the church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
Yes, bless the name of Jesus.
And he summed it up in the book of Revelation. He that is holy, let him be holy still.
See it now.
He that is filthy, when I come, he going to be filthy still. Ain't going to be no change.
And no change in it.
That's why I tell the people, if you're following preachers in sin, get out.
Now.
Get out.
Right away.
Get out.
Yesterday.
Get out. Time is running out.
Yes,
hey,
Lord.
Our time is up. Minister Mildred, anything else?
Amen. I just thank God for the word, because it's truly ministering out there, and I know it is, because the power of God is in that word. Amen. And it will do exactly what it said it will do. Amen. In Jesus' name.
I love you. Minister Mildred loves you. And we don't want you to see you die and be lost. But as I said before, Jim Jones said he had